Okay, we're up to Perek Pasuk Tezayin. Perek Gimel Pasuk Tezayin. Vatavo El Chamoisa Vatavo Mi'at Viti. Rus arrives home at the home of her mother-in-law. She says to her, Vatavo, she arrives, she comes El Chamoisa Vatomer, and Naomi says to her, Mi'at Viti. That's a very strange question. Who are you, my daughter? What, she never saw her before? Could it possibly be? She didn't recognize her? What, she had a glow? Because she was engaged? Okay, mi'at biti, who are you, my daughter? Vatagila, and she said, told her, Ruth said to Naomi, Eis kol asher oso lo ish, everything that the ish had done to her. The entire conversation, the entire sequence of events. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Okay.
Okay, so let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk tezayin. There is no Rashi. Let's see right away. Run to the Targum pasuk tezayin. Va'asa levos chamoisa. She arrives. She comes towards her mother-in-law. El levos means el to her mother, towards her mother-in-law. Bikritzta. Bikritzta means early in the morning. It does not say that in the pasuk. Okay, that is something that has been added into the pasuk, into the targum, the kritzta in the early morning. Where did the targum get that from? It's not at all clear. Batavoy el chamois. It's not exactly clear how we know that, but the targum got that. But that's what it says. Va'amaras, and she said, "Man at barti." Naomi said to us, "Who are you, my daughter? I do not recognize you." Va'chavias la. She related to her, Vachavias means she spoke, she related to her, Yos kol ma da'avad la guvra, everything that this man did, al pum neymar, here we have some extra words, the Targum adds to the Pasuk, al pum neymar min kodom Hashem beruach nevuah. Okay, she said to her, everything that the man did to her according to the word of Hashem, that was revealed to her, Brum Vua Diskali Asle Avad Hashem Avad Lashem. One more time. Vachavias La Yos Komad Avala Guvra Al Pum Meimar Min Kodam Hashem Bruch Nevua Diskalisle. It was revealed to her Avad La what he did to her. Avad La what he did to her. Now, the Targum seemingly means that the one that told her everything was not Rus, but Naomi. It's very, very bizarre. Here, Rus arrives home. She says to her, "Who are you? Mi at iti?" And then Vatagil, who is the subject of Vatagil law? Simply Rus. Rus tells Naomi, "Eis kol asher osa lo ish." But it's not what the Targum seems to say. The Targum seems to say is that Naomi went on to relate, I'll tell you exactly what happened. I'll tell you play by play. What?
He translated
that. No.
Naomi translated what Ruth.
No. Naomi revealed. Naomi says, you know what? Don't tell me what happened. I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you exact sequence of events what happened. Yeah, the Targum says that it was like Ruach HaKodesh. That's what the Targum says. It was Al Pum Neymar Min Kadam Hashem Beruach Nevuah, through prophecy. The Iskaliasle that was revealed to her, Avadla, what he, Boaz, did to her. So according to the Targum, Vatagila, the subject of the two words Vatagila is Naomi. Naomi says to us, you don't have to tell me anything. I will tell you exactly what happened. I'll tell you the entire sequence of events. How do I know? Well, I wasn't watching. There were no video cameras those days. Everything that happened to you was revealed to me through Ruach HaKodesh, through the Ruach of Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what's very bizarre is, why was it necessary, even if it was true, that everything was revealed to her from Ruach HaKodesh? Why? What?
Why ask
the question? What do you mean? I mean, no, who asked the question? Why did, that's another thing, why did Naomi ask the question, who are you, right? Why did she ask that question? Why is it necessary for Naomi to reveal everything that happened in the middle of the night? So I don't have an answer. I didn't see a good answer to this question. But
maybe she wanted to show Ruth that it was something that was fate. It was happening.
It was the shares.
So you can say that even if there wasn't, even if I didn't have a record, a transcript of what happened. It was fate. Whatever happened, happened. It was Menashe Maimi, and then Muna Pshuta. But for some reason, we have this, I don't know, I don't really have any clarity on why the Targum needs to, and why the Targum learned like this, and what is the deeper message. Obviously, there's something very, very deep going on over here, but it's not the simple translation. The simple translation is that it was Rust and revealed to Naomi, related to Naomi, all of the events that happened the previous night. Okay, let's discuss a few things. First of all, what is this thing, Bas, Temer, Bas, Mi, Vatomer, Mi, At, Biti, who are you, my daughter? Does she not recognize who she is? That's the question. So someone learned is that she wanted to know, are you married? Did he marry you last night? What's your last name? Right? Did he marry you? The original plan was, I told you to lie down near his feet, and hopefully he would have married you. He could have married you either with witnesses, or he could have married you within Yibum, and that would not necessarily require witnesses, but you would have already been an Eshesesh. Or are you still single? That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is, Bas Miad Medrash actually says this interpretation, is that what is your halachic status? Are you part of Klal Yisrael, or are you part of the nation of Moav? Is it true that the halach of Amoini, Meloy Amoinis, Moyov Le Moyovis, has that halacha been accepted as correct? You spoke last night to the Gadol Hadar. He must have told you what the halacha is. Is that correct? Is it not correct? Bas mi'at. Are you mi'at biti? Are you one of us, or are you one of them? Are you really part of Klal Yisrael? Yes or no? Okay, that's the second. The third interpretation is Bas mi'at. Is she didn't recognize her exactly as you said of Meir due to her glow. She was a different person. The experience of coming in contact with Boaz, this super religious experience transformed her to the degree that she was unrecognizable. I mean, it's a very bizarre thing to say, but that's what the Mefarshim say. Okay, maybe could be in a Hanami. That's she might have taken it off when she came home because the danger. But if she came back during the morning, maybe it was not as dangerous. Okay, in a Hanami. But Bas Miyat simply means that you know they say about different tzaddikim, different tzaddikim in previous generations that on Shabbos you would not recognize them. The glow of Shabbos was so intense they had an entirely different appearance, and you indeed would not recognize them. Here she told to put on big day Shabbos and to prepare for meeting with Boaz, and Rus in Echanami, she was did not recognize Rus. Now we have the similar idea in regard to the Mon. Vayomer Mon Hu. After Klal Yisrael ate the Mon the first time, each one they similar the Pasuk says, Mon Hu. What is this? The Mon appeared before their tents, they picked it up, they said to Moshe, what in the world is this? Do you really expect us to eat this? Mon Hu. Lo yoda mahu. They called it mon ki lo yoda mahu. Now there are some commentators, I think, namely Rav Menachem Mendel Meiriminov. Rav Menachem Mendel Meiriminov devoted a lot of his writings to the mon. He was a very big expert in the topic of the mon, and he explains that mon literally means who. Mon, bayom, bayom, ish elochev. Each person said to their fellow, "Who are you?" And what he basically says is that the experience, when Klal Yisrael experienced eating mon, it transformed them. They became different people. They became people with different midos. Until now, they saw the Yad Hashem. Hashem provided parnasa daily, right in front of their doorstep. Tzadikim, the mon appeared from their doorstep. The Beinonim had to walk a little bit. The Rishonim had to walk a little bit even more, but It had an experience, it had an effect on Klal Yisrael that they were transformed into different people. And one person in Echanami did not recognize their friend. Again, the simple translation is, each man said to his fellow, what in the world is this that is lying on the floor? But the deeper interpretation is, after each person ate them on, they were spiritually transformed, they were unrecognizable in midos and in appearance. Vayomu ish elochiv. Monhu. Who are you? I don't recognize you. I thought I knew you, but I don't really know you. You're not the person that I knew. you're a much better person. You're a different person because of the transformation that has occurred through the eating of the man. That same idea is here. Ruth had an experience of coming in contact with Boaz. This experience changed her. It could be it changed her midos, it changed her appearance, it changed her outlook on life. And when she came back to Naomi, Naomi said, wow, you're a different person. It doesn't necessarily mean she did not recognize her. It means to say is, you have a different outlook on life. You have a different hashkafa. You're not the same person that I know. And I once heard about two, they were talking about there was a person who was a bitter enemy of someone else. They're not in good terms. And he went to a wedding, and he sat down at the table, and they started small talk with the neighbor at the table. I was sitting there. I knew this one person does not like this other person. They had bad business dealings. And the person said to him, oh, where do you live? Oh, do you know so-and-so? That's all he had to say, right? Do you know so-and-so? This so-and-so, they're not. So he goes, yeah, you know. Oh, and then they go, oh, that's such a nice person. Such a good person. Start seeing very, Lefi Tumo. He had no idea that this person was a bitter enemy. I said bitter enemy, but they were not on good terms. Oh, such a nice person. What a wonderful person. They know that he does this and this. So the other person, all he said was, the person that he called him by name. Let's say, okay, we'll call him Yankel Shmerel. The Yankel Shmerel, you know, is not the Yankel Shmerel that I know. We're talking about in a chanam, he might be the same person, but we know them a little differently.
A different view.
Same thing over here. I know who you are. I recognize your physical appearance. You are my daughter-in-law. You are Rus Hamoavia. But I sense through speaking to you that you're a different person. You've changed quite a bit through this experience you had coming in contact with Boaz. Vatomer, mi at biti, who are you? I don't recognize you. You're a different type of person. Okay, so sach hakol we have here, I think what do we have? Three interpretations. Either the question was, are you still single? Are you married? Did Boaz marry you? Number two, bas mi'at, what did he paskin with regard to the issue? Moyavi v'loy moyavis, are you one of us? Are you part of Klal Yisrael? Or are you part of the nation of Moav? And number three, I just don't know who you are, I don't recognize you. You have been transformed through this experience. I have a tag in law.
Yeah.
No, we do not. We do not. There are two things we never let go of. Two things we never let go of. At exactly what point in time did she convert? And number two, at what point in time was it clarified? Moavi v'loy moavis.
I don't mean the natural question.
The halacha question.
Her specific, it's a little late in the day for her not to have been converted for all of this to have happened.
Also, how insulting was it when somebody referred to her that way? I mean, would she take
that's
it
what
offense?
We're talking about.
We're going to see soon in the next Paragdal is when Boaz, when he has a conversation with the Goel, he says she's a Moavia. He actually insults her. He actually says she has a poor yichus. Watch out.
That's not nice.
Yeah, the Gemara says you're not allowed to insult a ger even 10 generations. Even 10 generations, you should not say something negative about their nationality.
We're just keep calling her a shiksa.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't have a good answer. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Yeah, you're right. It's definitely a problem. Okay, so Vatagel Eskol Asher Osso Loho Ish. Okay, then we have two interpretations. The Pshat, who told who? What did Ruth tell Naomi what happened? Or did Naomi tell Ruth, you do not need to tell me what happened. I know what happened. I have Ruach HaKodesh. I have Nevuah. And I'll tell you what happened. Why is that important for Naomi to tell Ruth what happened? I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough question. Why would the Targum is coming to Mechadish with this? Now, the other issue here, another quick issue I saw is this was the second time in the Sefer when Ruth comes back to Naomi and reports what happened, Lisa Fipshuta, what happened the night, what happened, her experience with Boaz. In the previous time that Ruth returns and tells Naomi what happened is when she was in the field and she was collecting barley, she was collecting leket, And she tells him that this mini was very kind to me. He let me follow behind his workers. He told the workers not to harass me. He let me eat at his table. He gave me good food. And there it says, "Vatagil es kol asher osisi imho ish." There the expression was what she did with the man. What she did with the man. And we discussed that does not seem to be correct. It should say what the man did with her. And there we had the famous two different interpretations. Either she meant, she was telling Naomi that this person was such a tzaddik, this man Boaz is such a great tzaddik. When he gave me the tzedakah, when he gave me the leket, and he did all this kindness, he made me feel as if I was doing him a favor. That's how great he was. That's how comfortable he made me feel. That was part of the shevach of Ruth to Naomi about Boaz. Or, Chazal said, not necessarily he made her feel. The pasuk is written in this fashion to teach us a lesson that more than what an usher does for the ani does for the usher. The usher brings an ani support in this world, where the ani, by taking tzedakah, enables the usher to merit this world and the next world. Facilitator. Right. So, but here it doesn't say that. Here it doesn't say, here it says, v'tagid lo, we're not going to that. We just say, es akol asher osoloh ish, what the man did for her. The man did for her. We don't mention. Now here also, he seemingly he gave her tzedakah. At the very end, he gave her six either measures of barley, which was tzedakah, or he gave her six kernels of barley, which was symbolic. We don't make mention here that Ruth did Boaz a favor. Here we mention that it was Boaz did Ruth a favor.
It's a report of the fact.
Okay, but there as well was a report of the facts.
Yeah. Naomi knew what she did. She did what she was instructed to do.
Okay.
The reward is about the response to those actions.
Okay. Okay. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Vatomer pasuk yudzayin. Vatomer, she continues to speak. Vatomer, Ruth says to Naomi, Sheish hasa'irim ha'ele nosali. He gave me these six measures of barley. And we learned yesterday, a machlokes between Rashi and the Targum, does this mean six measures? Six sa'ah of barley, which is an enormous amount. The average person can only carry, at most, five measures, five sa'ah of barley. She took home six measures. Or does it mean referring to six kernels or six stalks of barley, which was symbolic? Vatomer sheish hasa'irim ho'ele nosali ki omar. He said, now we read, it's not written in the pasuk, but we read ki omar elai. He said to me, al tovoi reikom el chamoisech, do not come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Now one thing I forgot to mention yesterday, a beautiful idea, some want to suggest the reason why the Magen David has six sides comes from this pasuk, or the pasuk we learned yesterday. We learned yesterday in the great length the significance of the six. He gave her a barley stalk that has six branches to be merames on the Melech HaMashiach, to be merames on either on David. David had six milas, and David would be the ancestor of the Melech HaMashiach that has six milas. Actually, we went to six times six. There were six great individuals, descendants of David HaMelech. David, Chizkiyahu, Yoshiyahu, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, we count as one, Doniel, and Melech HaMashiach. And each one of those six people, we learned yesterday, we read the Medrash, we found in the Pasuk, where each one has six milas. So it's six times six. The Magen David is all about the number six. And the Magen David obviously is all about David. It's about David, David Melech HaMashiach, David's descendants. So some want to suggest that is why the Magen David indeed does have six. It's based upon this pasuk in Rus, which very much focuses on the six milos, the six descendants, and the six. Each one of the six descendants has six unique talents, six unique milos. Okay, now we come away. So he says to her, he tells her, do not come, Rekum, to. He gave her these six measures of these six barleys, and he told her, I do not want you to come empty handed to your mother in law. Let's see if you're Rashi. Rashi Pasik Yud Zayin. There is no Rashi. Let's go to the Targum. Pasik Yud Zayin. Va'amaras. She said, Shesh Sein Disoir, in six measures. Targum is following its Shita back before from the previous pasuk. The six saw is a very large measure of grain. The six measures of grain, Ho'ilein Vis, Yehavli Guvra, the man has given to me, Arum Omar Li, because here this is something that it does not say in the pasuk. I'm sorry, it does say ki. That's Arum means ki amali. Lo sehachin rekonya levas chamosich. Do not return empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Now, by the way, I was about to discuss that. She does not call him Boaz. She calls him Ho'ish. He lost his name. Why did he lose his name? So I didn't see a good answer. I just saw the question asked here in this Sefer Dinos. He asked the question, and he's something along the lines that when you're dealing with the coming of Mashiach, it's Hakadosh Baruch Hu is pulling the strings. People, individuals lose their identity when you deal with the big picture of things. When you want to deal with the coming of Mashiach and the big picture, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is there. So we tend to remove ourselves from the identity of the person himself. For example, the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayelech Ish mi beis Levi, Vayikach es bas Levi. Why doesn't it say Vayelech Amram, Vayikach es Yocheved? Why doesn't it say? Why is his name what?
Because who he was not relevant to. He was just a vehicle for that process to bring the goel.
Oh, so that's exactly the same thing. So you could say the exact same answer. Vayelech Ish.
He was a vehicle because he wanted to do it instead of the goel. But he was
a vehicle. But the goal here is not him. The goal is who will come from this union. Who will come is David, Melech HaMashiach. That's what's important. Just like even though Amram was the Gadol Hadar, he was the Gadol Hadar. Yocheved, which owned only because of her, Klal Yisrael survived. Kol Abein Hayila Ha'er Tashlichu. Yet all of a sudden they become anonymous. They're not important. Vayelech Ish Mibeis Levi. Vayikach Es Bas Levi. That's it. They lose their identity because we're focusing on the Geula. The Goyel Rishon was Moshe. The Goyel Achron is Melech HaMashiach, Eliyahu Navi. But the Goyel, that becomes the Iker. So therefore we don't focus on the individuals who are the vehicle to bring the ultimate good. That's exactly the same that's happening over here. It's not important who Boaz is. What's important is what is about to happen. And to make that point is Ish. There's an Ish, and his name is not mentioned many psukim. His name is not mentioned. We mention him once, who he is, but then we keep on referring to him over and over again as the Ish, not as the name Boaz.
But also, Ish is often a term meaning somebody special and important.
It depends. Sometimes Ish represents weakness. Enosh. It's sometimes the word Adam. There are different. It depends. Right. Sometimes Ish is an expression which connotes chashivus, and sometimes it connotes weakness. Mo enosh kisis karenu. Adam, on the other hand, also sometimes means Adam comes from the word Adam Elo Elyon. I will be comparable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, greatness. Sometimes Adam means Ofar Min Ho Adam, nothing, earth. So it depends on the context. You're right. The question is better than the answer. I gave you, there's one answer. We make this connection to Moshe, to Amram. We don't want to focus on the people. We want to focus on what's going to happen, the Geula. But the question is still a very good question. Why we only refer to him as the person Ish, we don't refer to him as Boaz.
It also occurs to me that in this context, maybe she is saying the person to whom I hope to become the Isha.
Ish, Isha, marriage. The word Ish is
My hopefully future husband.
Yivole Ishi Eli.
That's a stretch.
Ish, is what you're saying is a term that means a husband. It's not just a man. It means a husband. She's trying to hint, to pray, Halavai, I should be his wife. All right, that's it. He's my man, my man.
The story, it doesn't mention Naomi's name. The whole pair of Gimel.
The whole pair of Gimel, Naomi's not mentioned either. Okay, I don't know.
It says Boaz, he said, after he,
Could be. So Nechanami, like Vayelech Yishvi, basically, Vikachas Vastev, we forget about the name. Einochanami. Okay, there's another important medrash. The medrash, the beautiful medrash, should focus on the word Reikom. Ki Omar, he said a lie, Al Tovo, Tovohi Reikom El Chamosech. The word Reikom is used in the Torah three times. The first time is Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's the past 3 months? Past Yom Chol.
V'hoya
ki selchun lo selchun.
It doesn't. Oh, okay. V'hoya si selchun.
Ki selchun reikam. When you leave, what Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, when you will leave Egypt, you will not leave. V'hoya ki selchun lo selchun reikam. You will not leave empty-handed. How did they leave? Bizas Mitzrayim. Bizas Yamsof. Mishala Isha Mishchentu Megaras Pesa. They borrowed Chesef Chlezov Lekai Mashenem by the Brisbane Absarim. By the Brisbane Absarim. It says by the Brisbane Absarim. Vaya ki selchun lo selchun reikam, that when Klal Yisrael will leave, your children, your descendants, are going to be slaves for 400 years. But Avraham, you should be aware. Vaya ki selchun lo selchun reikam. When they leave, they're not going to leave empty handed. They're going to leave with the Bizas Mitzrayim. Now, obviously, the word reikam there doesn't just mean you're going to have in your hand a pruta. You can have in your hand a couple of dollars. Everyone, when you line up to even Mitzrayim, will give everyone $5. No, you're going out millionaires. Everyone who walked out of Mitzrayim left as a multi-millionaire. They took klei chesef, klei zav, gold, silver, precious metals, pearls and diamonds, bizas Mitzrayim, and then bizas hayam was even greater than the bizas Mitzrayim. So reikam here means a multi-millionaire. Okay, now, where else do we have the word Reikom? We have the word Reikom by an Eved Ivri, Hanoka. Eved Ivri, it says, also the same expression, I don't have the medrash in front of me, but the same expression, Hanoka, you're mechuyev to give severance when an Eved Ivri leaves after serving for 6 years, ki have tavitenu, de machsoro. And the pasuk goes on to say, I don't know the exact expressions, pasuk of Parashas Mishpatim, when he goes out, make sure he does not. It says also the word Reikam. It says the word Reikam. Does it say the word Reikam? It's Chinam? Okay, the Medrash, though, okay, the Medrash says we're going to interchange. Even it's not the same exact word, the Medrash says it's the same idea. Chinam, it's the same idea as Reikam, that when you go out, you don't go out empty-handed. And how much money does the Eved Ivri go out with? A significant amount. He's not going out as a multimillionaire, but he's going out, he's being taken care of. He has a nice pension, he has plenty, he has money to survive for the near immediate future. So we would suggest that when it says here that Ki Omar Eli, Boaz said to me that when you leave me, when you go home, I don't want you to go empty handed to your mother in law. So maybe that means that Boaz gave her a check of $1 million. Just like it says with Reikam by the Brisbane Absalom, it says with Reikam, it says with Chinam by the Arivi. No. There's another reference to Reikam, and that is Aliyah L'Regel. Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana, Yerakol Zuchas Meshem Rechavolo Yeru Fonai Reikam. And Chazal Darshan, Reikam means when you must bring a carbon oila. And how much does the carbon, the oila astria cost? The smallest amount of money. Chazal give a measure, I don't have the measure, it actually tells it, two ma, it's a small amount of silver. The smallest amount of silver, the cheapest carbon that you can possibly buy is more than enough to fulfill the mitzvah of lo yeru'u fonai reikam. Because Hashem does not need our money, He does not need korbanos, it's symbolic. When you come to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to give. Don't come and go give a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Be prepared for a Kodesh Baruch Hu empty-handed. Give something at least symbolic. Hashem doesn't need you to give all of your money, but show that you care, that it's important to the mitzvah is important. So the Medrash says that's what it means here as well. Here, when Boaz, when Rus took leave of Boaz, Boaz says, I don't want you to go to your mother-in-law empty-handed. I don't mean empty-handed like Bizas Mitzrayim. I don't mean empty-handed like Hanok of Evrivri. I mean you should go with a symbolic gift. And it's teaching us Derech Eretz. Sometimes you come to you go to an event. You go to a dinner, right, of a yeshiva dinner. Or you go to, I don't know, a banquet, a shul banquet, whatever it is. They give you a gift. They give you a bencher. They give you, I don't know, they give you a tchotchke, whatever they give you. What, you really need the gift? You really need another bencher? You really need another, whatever they give out of these things. What?
A coffee mug.
A coffee mug. Teretz is, it's symbolic. When you leave the event, when you leave this convention, or event, or banquet, dinner, you don't walk out empty-handed. We're not going to give you write out a check of $1 million. Adarabha, you're supposed to write us out the check of $1 million. You're supposed to be giving us the money. But since you've come to our event, it's min hanimos. It's proper etiquette, derech eretz, to give you a gift, just like Hashem says to us, v'lo yeru fonai reikam, when you come to me. It's derech eretz. Give me a small gift, a small coin, a small silver coin. Take it, buy a little carbon, offer it as a sacrifice. So to hear, that's how the word reikam is being used. When you go home, I don't want you to go home to your mother-in-law empty-handed. I want you to go home to your mother-in-law with a symbolic gift. What is this symbolic gift? So this fits very well with Rashi's interpretation that he did not give her six large measures of barley, but instead he gave her six stalks of barley. It was a symbolic gift that from you, from this union, will come out six great tzaddikim, who each of whom have six qualities, six beautiful qualities, middos, that are enumerated in all the various psukim that we mentioned yesterday. It is a symbolic gift. Now, by the way, one thing I forgot to mention yesterday, that according to one interpretation, the six different barley stalks that he gave her, was a conditional kiddushin. In other words, he married her right then and there al tanai. She comes into the threshing floor. If she proposes, will you marry me? He says, yes, I will. I will marry you. But there is a goyel that is karov mimeni. He has first rights. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you kesef kiddushin right here and now. Hare at mikudesh asli, with these six stalks of barley. Al tanai. The tanai is, if the goyel does not want, then retroactively, from tonight, we should be married. That's valid. Yes. You can, what?
As long as
it's worth one pruta. So he married her. Well, he married her with something symbolic. And that is very fascinating, because that really is what our minhag is. Our minhag, the Mishnah Masech, the Gedishin says, a man can marry a woman, Mishleish Drachim, Kesef Shtar Bia. We use Kesef. Kesef means to give a woman either a pruta, a coin that's worth one pruta, or Shavu Kesef. Why are we Mekadesh with a Tabas? Once already we're going to Mekadesh with Kesef, we it's symbolic. So the man gives the woman a ring. The ring she'll wear every single day of her life. She doesn't have to wear a ring. A man gives a woman Kesef Kiddush. He gives her a quarter. Give her a nickel. According to some, a nickel is a pruta. So a penny, even a penny some hold is a pruta. So you give her a penny. She'll take the penny. Okay, I'm married to you. Very good. She can throw it in the garbage. Take the nickel and put it in her pocket. And she'll go to a candy machine. Buy a cup of coffee with a nickel. Yet, what does the man give her for the Kesef Kiddushin? He gives her a marriage band. How much does the marriage band cost today? $100? $150. Wow, price went up. It used to cost $100. Now it's like $150. Okay, so $150. And what does she do with that marriage band? She wears it on her finger her entire life. It becomes symbolic. It's symbolic. There are, I don't think we do this today, but there are communities there were communities where there was a special tabas kiddushin, and it was given as a gift, a matana, a manas lahachzer to every chassid to give the kala. It was humongous. It was round, fits on the figure, and then on the outside it was square. There's some kabbalah. I have no idea what it's all about. That it should be round on the inside, square on the outside, and on top of it was a bias, was the image of a beautiful bias. It was symbolic that, you know, a tabas is round, it should last forever. It's square because the mitzvot are square, tefillin are square, the mizbeach is square. All things that are created by man are square. And there's a bias, there should be a simin toiv, that the chosin and kala should build a bias in Enem Bisrael. Symbolism is used to create marriage. Where do you find the source for this concept that we get married with symbolic objects? Right here in Sefer Rus. This is the only makar. He gave her six stalks of barley, or six, some say it was six barley seeds. I don't know if it was barley seeds or sticks of barley. It was worth a pruta. Obviously it was. If it was not worth a pruta, it would not have been valid. It would have been invalid. It was worth at least a pruta. He asked me a good question, because according to Beis Shammai holds it has to be worth a lot more. Machlagis in the Gemara tradition, how much kesef does one eat in Mikadesh? Beis Hillel is very lenient. Pruta is the smallest amount of money. Beis Shammai is machmi. You have to pay a lot of money. It's expensive, whatever it is. But the six stalks of barley was not worth the value of a pruta according to the shita of Beis Shammai. But according to Beis Hillel, it's worth at least a pruta. And we learn from here that when you get married, you get married, it should be symbolic. You should embellish the Kesef Kedushin with symbolism. Just like Boaz, when he married Rus, which was going to bring the Melech HaMashiach, he did it in style. He didn't just give her a quarter. He didn't go to the machine and put in a quarter. They have those machines still outside of the supermarkets? I don't think that's all right. No more. You put in quarters outside the supermarket and you turn those things in. They still exist, those things?
Yeah.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Not a quarter.
Not a quarter anymore? How much? At least a dollar. And they have rings also that come out. So he did it with symbolism. He didn't just do it with...
They really found, they said, Cracker Jacks.
What does that mean?
Cracker Jacks box.
Yeah. In the Cracker Jack box.
Yeah.
You don't have to even book it. So this is another point of Al Tavoy Reikam El Chamoseh, don't come Reikam, and this was the Kesef Kiddushin. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches. Vatoymer, Naomi now says to Rus, Shvi Viti, sit. Let's sit and wait. Patience. Everything depends on patience. Ad asher teidin eich yipol davar, how things will fall. Ki lo yishkoit o ish, the man will not be quiet. Yishkoit means sheket. Sheket is silence. I have faith in Boaz. Boaz is not a he doesn't twiddle his thumbs. He's going to take action. He's a man of action. The Shatan waits, what, for the boy to call back if he wants or not? The Shatan doesn't call the next minute and say what happened? The boy has, these are the rules of Shaduchim. The halacha is of Shaduchim. Okay. Kilo yishkai to ish kim kila hadava hayom. He will conclude the matter hayom. He will conclude the matter today. Okay, there are a number of things. Let's first see Rashi and then the Targum. Possibly Ches Rashi, kil kim kila. Yeah.
Ha'ish.
Yes.
Is Boaz.
Yes.
Could it also mean it's a name of an important person? Why do you say that?
The Hey Hayidia. The word Ish does not necessarily mean an important person.
No, say that.
But the Hey Hayidia Hoish. Yes, Hoish means
the man.
The man. He's the man. That's right. That's right.
He's the man, and he, the man, was also Ali Melech. Ali Melech is when he makes Ish.
He's also called an Ish. Okay.
Ish Naomi.
I don't know the name. Could be.
Ish Naomi. Ish Naomi. And also,
it signifies Hashivas.
Ish Naomi.
Yeah, but it's.
Ish is a female.
Female, yeah. Oh, but you have also
Hashivas.
Also a female. She never refers to him as Boaz. Never. She's
never?
No. And who refers to Boaz? Ruth?
Naomi?
Ruth, when
yep.
she speaks to Naomi, says,
the Shem Boaz. Boaz, okay. It's something to be analyzed. Analyzed and thought about. What's the significance?
Say in a too familiar.
She had respect. Distance.
It wasn't on a first name basis.
Distance. Okay, could be. Okay, let's see. Vatomer Shvi Viti Ad Asher Tedia. Now, the commentators take note that this is the second time where we are told that one should have patience. Lini Halayla, Boaz told Rus, Lini, with a big nun, wait. Don't, let's not rush to anything quickly. Let's wait. Let's delay. And now, and again, now is a second dosage of delay when Naomi also says to Rus, let's shvi viti. So it's very interesting is that both parties are advising Rus patience.
Caution.
Boaz, the Baal Dovar, and Naomi, the instigator.
Yeah, but what she's telling her, shvi viti, as opposed to what else could she do?
Maybe she can go and she can push things along. She could go to Beis Din and say, remember me last night?
Yeah, right.
And you promised, maybe we can move things along.
Because he said, he already told her, don't worry, in the morning I'm going to take care of this.
Okay.
The ball is now in his.
How many times have you been told, I'm going to take care of this in business, and you have to only send 50 emails to remind them? To take care of it.
He's made a commitment, and now it
many good people make commitments. I deal with people, some of these people all the time, and you have to call them 100 times until they'll make the, what?
Not a normal situation.
Okay, nothing is a normal situation. Nothing in life is a normal situation. Just Boaz told her, Lini Halayla, in the morning I'll take care of it. So what would be so terrible if 10 o'clock in the morning, she shows up in court. Boaz was a good lador, he probably sat in Beis Din, as we see he did. She shows up in court and says, I want to speak to the boss, I want to speak to the Rosh Beis Din. And she says to him, you remember me? Remember we had a conversation? Maybe you should move things along. Don't forget about me. No, so Ruth says to her, no, don't do anything. Sit it out. So let's see how he deals with it. But she might have been impatient. Shviviti, the fact that Mepharshim said this, I'm not making this up, I saw this in the Mishnah, so he talks about this at the great length. He talks about the fact that she had to go tell the Shviviti, and furthermore, he says, Ich yipol dovar, meaning don't interfere. There was the fact that she has to say both of these expressions, shvi, and let's see how things work out. Yipol has a connotation of like a goyrel. You cast lots. You throw dice. Right? You throw dice. So let the dice, what is the expression? Let the chips fall where they may. Yipol davar. What do you mean yipol davar? You gotta do a shtadlus. That's the answer. That's exactly. The answer is there's a balance. You have to do ishtadlus, but you have to let things. You have to let things work out by themselves. Too much ishtadlus sometimes is no good. And that is what Rus is advising Naomi. Naomi was very eager. Well, they say about Matan Torah. What was the sign for Matan Torah? Hagbala. Hashem went to all the nations of the world and he said to them, will you want to be Mekabel Torah? They asked Hashem, what does it say in the Torah? So to one nation they said, lo tirtzach, lo tirtzach, forget about it. Like tinaf, no way. Hashem went to every single nation. So what about Klal Yisrael? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Klal Yisrael? Hagbala, back off, stand back. Don't cross the line, because the nature of Klal Yisrael is impetuousness, the impulsiveness. That's unfortunately we see that to be very true. There's this eagerness to aggressiveness, and it's not right. You have to stand back. You have to be patient. So here, Rus Melech HaMashiach. You know, David had a red complexion. David was a gibor. He went out to fight. David was a very powerful, aggressive warrior. Who was his great 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 grandmother? Rus. Listen, she told Rus, listen, calm down. Don't get up tomorrow morning 9 o'clock and come to court. Wait for him and to say make you have to make good on your word. Nochamal.
She would look good doing that.
Why not?
She looked like, you know, really...
You promised. You swore to me. You made a shvur.
He would say, all right, give me a chance.
Might look a little desperate.
Yeah.
Talk to my lawyer.
So it looks a little bit desperate. People want to come with something important. People don't care. If it's important to you, there's money on the table. So I can look desperate. I don't care. Over here, she wants Melech HaMashiach to come from her. Teretz says no. That's exactly the point. That's exactly the lesson. And the lesson is being emphasized. The word Yipol Dover is a very powerful expression. There are no words here that are just said without any thought. Each word here is mounds and mounds of lessons. It's like you're throwing dice. Let's see how things work out. You have to leave a little bit of room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do what he wants to do. You can't live a life where every single thing is planned. Every step is mapped out. It doesn't work like that. You have to leave some wiggle room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get involved and do things his way. Eich Yipol Davar, Shiviviti. All of the tragedy in Klai Yisrael came about because we were too impetuous. We did not wait. First, starting with Chava. According to the Medrash, Hashem was going to allow Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. But not now. Shabbos. This is the Shabbos Suda. The Eitz Hadas will be what you're going to eat Shabbos. It's now Friday afternoon. Friday morning. Can't you just wait a few minutes? You're not supposed to eat the cholent Friday afternoon. If you eat the cholent Friday afternoon, it's not going to have any time Shabbos morning. You got to wait a little bit. Don't eat the kugel. Friday afternoon, you got to wait until Shabbos morning. Hashem said to Adam and Chava, wait until Shabbos to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Chava said, no, now. Can't wait. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm coming down in 40 days. What would have been so terrible to wait to cut him a little slack? Give him another 6 hours. Moshe Rabbeinu, he hasn't come down. So, he hasn't come down. He died. He's gone. I said, Lanu Elohim, we're going to make an error. Wait a little bit. No. Lack of patience. This is, there are other examples. I don't remember them, but other examples.
Another way of saying it is trust. Now it's time.
It's not just trust. You have to be.
You've done your part. Now it's time to trust in Hashem, right. Trust in Boaz. You know, a relationship is built on trust, and now it's time to trust.
Also,
starting tomorrow morning, the doors in the front will be locking at 10 o'clock.
Come around the side door, you bang at the door.
Either come through the driveway or go the other way.
Okay. Come over here. You come over here. You bang over here.
Bang your mother.
Yeah, she was. Shviviti. She was anxious. Just sit it out. Normal girl in Shidduchim. Right? A girl in Shidduchim, she goes out on a date, she likes the boy, she can't sleep. What are you going to do? We got to wait for the boy to call back if he wants to go out a second time, a third time. Shviviti. Calm down. Just wait. Cool it.
Knowing that there's a problem here because...
Exactly. So she told her, don't... Who knows, maybe she wants to go and do something to the Goyal. Cut him off. Send the mafia after the Goyal. To knock him off. So the only one left will be Boaz. Shviviti ad asher teidin eichi pol davar ki lo yishkoi to ish ki im kila ha-davar hayom. Okay, so Rashi says, to ish es ha-davar hayom, who's going to kila? Not Hashem the ish. I have confidence that Boaz will not be silent. He will conclude this matter today. Let's look at the Targum Pasuk Yud Ches. Kila means to finish. Ki'im. Yichle is the future tense. Yichle, he will. Yipo with the Yud means the future tense. Kim kilo hadavar hayom and kim yichle, he will finish. I don't know the answer. I don't know. I'm not familiar with all the rules of grammar. Kim yichle hadavar hayom, he will finish the matter today. I do not know. I don't know the answer. Present tense. Kilo, the matter will be finished today. It's a matter of fact. It also can be done said in this expression. The matter will come to a conclusion one way or another. It will be settled today. Hayom. Okay, let's look at the Targum. Targum Pasuk Yud Ches. Vamaras Naomi said, Tivi Virati, sit. Sit, my daughter. Imi, now here we have some extra words. Imi Biveisa, in the house. Doesn't say that in the Pasuk. It just says, Shavi, sit, go to your house. Go to the park. Take a day off. Go shopping. No, Shavi Viti means... Doesn't say that in the Pasuk. Viti. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I'm sorry, means my daughter. TV Virati, I'm sorry. No, I didn't make a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. You're confusing me with the facts. It says here, TV Virati, my daughter, Imi Bevesa, in the house. Where does it say the word Bevesa in the Pasuk?
He's changing the pronunciation of
Biti
to
Bevesa.
He's changing
Biti
to
Bevesa. But the Targum says Virati, means my daughter.
He's taking 2 minutes.
Okay, you're going too far here. Ad Zman. Okay, another addition, another Targumic addition. Ad Zman, until the time. Doesn't say the word time in the Pasuk. So that cell phone is until the time, this Siddin, it will be known. This Siddin, Eichdein means how, Yiskizar min Shemaya. How this matter will be decided in heaven. Look at that. Okay, there's Bashert. Is he really your Basheret or not? What is meant to be? The Eichdein and how Yisparash Piskom, and how the matter will be, Yisparash means will be explained, will be clarified, Arum, because Lo Yinuach Gavro, the man will not rest, Arum, until Elohein, until Elohein Yishetzei Letov, Arum Elohein Yishetzei, Yitzei means to complete, Letov Piskama, for good. That's another word that he adds into the pasuk. This matter will come out for your good. You have to have emuna gamzu l'toiva, right? Nochum ish gamzu. Everything that happens is all for the ultimate good. Arum Elohein yishetzei. It will come to a conclusion l'tov, for good. Piskama yoyma dain, this matter today. So there's an enormous amount of ideas being added into the pasuk. Again, it's sit in the house. What the significance of that is, I do not know. And until the time, and the matter is being discussed in the Pamalia Shalmaila, in heaven, and you have to have confidence that the conclusion will be for good. Now this touches upon one of the fundamental issues of Emuna. Emuna, is there such a thing that you have Emuna, everything will work out for good? Let's say, Rachmana Litzlan, a person is not well. You have Emuna, it's going to work out for good. Really? What happens if he dies? So what does it mean? It's good. Not everything we know, not everything works out for good. So there's a very interesting Chazonish. In Emunah, there's a little contrast that was written by the Chazonish called Emunah Mitochen. And it seems that the Chazonish, if I'm not mistaken, did not write the entire thing. It was edited, it was written by someone else. It was written, I don't know the details of exactly who put it together, but there in the safe, and when we're talking, it's written, the Chazanish says there's no such thing, basically he's rejecting what it says here in the Targum. There's no such thing as having emuna that it's going to work out for the best. It's going to work out for good. No. If Hashem does not want it to work out for the good, it won't work out. It's not meant for you. For you, it's meant to work out for bad. Person meant to die, it's meant to die. Dying is not a good thing. Who's going to say that dying is a good thing? We're put into this world to live. So death is not a good thing. So how could you have emuna? Emuna, it's going to work out for good. And then a day later, the person dies. Or person himself is not well. So it's exactly what the Chazonish says. It's exactly what the Chazonish writes in Sefer Emunah B'Tochen, that it means in Echnami. It'll work out according to Hashem's liking. Whatever Hashem wants, that is what's going to be. Whether it's good, whether it's not good, it's Hashem's Rotzon, and we have to accept, humble ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Targum doesn't say that. Look what the Targum... What?
What do you do in the line where you...
Okay, but let's see what the Targum says. Look, let's...
Your effort, and you don't automatically say, I'll sit back and do nothing, it's in God's hands. Where do you draw that line? There must be cases where you have to do your effort or whatever.
You always have to do your effort.
Well, that's what happened over here. Look at what Naomi did. Naomi had this elaborate plan, an extreme, extreme ashtadlos, to go in the middle of the night, to lie down next to a man, next to the Gadol Hadar, and propose marriage to a 40-year-old woman with an 80-year-old man. That's not ashtadlos, that's the extreme form of ashtadlos. And then, all of a sudden, Naomi is deflated. Okay, we've done our ashtadlos. Shviviti, sit home, do nothing. Eich yipol davar. Let's see where the chips fall. Let's see what happens. Einoch enami, there's a balance. You do your ashtadlos, you sit back and you watch what happens. I don't know the answer. But here I want to focus on a different point. The different point over here is, look what it says in the Targum. The Targum says, Arum Elohein, these matters, Yishetzei, will come to a conclusion, Litov, for good. Who says it's going to come to a good conclusion? What would happen if Boaz will say to Ruth, I thought about it, I'm not for you. We don't, chemistry doesn't, there's no chemistry between us.
But you said there was Nevuah.
I'll make so just because Nevuah doesn't always have to come, Nevuah is subject to interpretation. What Nevuah means, even though he made a Shavuah, he'll be shoiled, there's always a way out. You make a Shavuah, you can annul the Shavuah, there's Tov. Tov is the Goyal Grishoin. I'm only a set. I never really promised. I told you it was contingent upon Tov. Maybe Tov will work. And let's say it turns out that Tov is not such a nice guy. He's not exactly the best Bachar in Lakewood, Tov. And he's not going to... Tov says, that's right. I'm the Goyal. I'm going to marry you. I'm going to torture you. I'm going to marry you. I'm going to force you into a marriage that you're not going to like. So this is called a Tov. This is going to be for good. It's not necessarily going to work out for good.
The Buddha doesn't mean that it'll be final. The Buddha just means this is the step you have to take now.
Every time Nevuah is a different... I don't know anything about Nevuah, so I don't know. Nevuah is a different world. Whatever it is. But here the Targum is saying something that is amazing. He's saying that Naomi says, I have emuna, I have faith. It does not say in the pasuk the word toiv, all that today I have confidence, I have emuna, that this matter will be settled today, litoiv, for good. The Chazanish seems to say you should not say that. When you have a dilemma, a difficult situation in life, you should not say, this is going to work out in the best possible way. It's going to work out the way Hashem wants it to work out, whether you like it or not, and whether it's called good or it's not good. So what does it mean, Gamzu L'tova? So what does it mean then, Gamzu? That's a good question according to the Chazanish. What does it mean then, Gamzu L'tova? What then does it mean? I don't know what it means. Okay, this is what it says in the Munim Tocha. Now, what is very interesting thing is, I once came across a kuntres, and in the kuntres he writes, he studied who wrote the Emunah B'Tochen, and he says that it was put together not by the Chazon Ish, by someone who used the notes of the Chazon Ish, and the editor made a big mistake. The Chazon Ish wrote this idea that a person that it's not going to work out for the good. He was writing that to reject it. And to say just the opposite, that a person has to have emuna that it will work out for good. Good? Death is good? Yeah, like you said, sometimes death is indeed good. If you have emuna in Hashem, Hashem is guaranteed to make it work out for good, not for bad. And when the Chazon Ish wrote this, that you should never say that, he was writing that to reject it. And the editor made a mistake and thought the Chazon Ish was writing this to say this is what a person should think. So it's amazing, something so basic, the fundamentals of emuna, that everyone calls them from the Chazon Ish sefer, a little teeny thin little pamphlet, and Emunah B'Tochen itself has become so controversial. What exactly did the Chazon Ish mean when he wrote about having a emunah that will come out for good? But you can't take that idea without taking note of what it says here in this pasuk in Rus, Kilo Hadavar Hayom. It does not say for good. The Targum is the word Letoiv, and as you mentioned, Nochum Ish Gamzu, Nochum Ish Gamzu, Gamzu Letoiva. Yeah.
That's why you say good yontiv and shonotiv and sukkah. Yontiv is a good day, so what you're saying, a second day,
yeah.
good day. We want to have a good day, Not that the Rabbeinu Shem is a good thing. We want to
feel it. We should appreciate it.
Feel the sweetness of it, that it should be a
shine. Not Hashem's toif, so our good.
We should comprehend it as good.
Okay. So this is an interesting idea. All right, now, okay, let's go to now the beginning of the next little bit, a little of the next parak. So make sure I don't forget anything. Okay, now there is one other thing I forgot to mention yesterday. There was some interesting idea. Yesterday we mentioned that Boaz, when he discovered this woman, Ruth, was at his feet, was petrified, gave out a scream, and Ruth had to embrace him, to silence him, to muzzle him. No one should hear. And the pasuk we mentioned the idea that the remainder of the night he was mispalel, and no one should find out that there's a woman lying at his side, because the chil Hashem, if it would go out into the report that would go out that there's a woman lying at the feet of Boaz in this silo on the threshing floor, whatever it was, would be a very great chil Hashem. Question is, what's the big deal? So let's say it would be discovered. It would be discovered. He would be able. They would be able to explain it. They would interview. No, they would interview on Ami and Rus. It seems that he over. It's a problem, but he was overreacting. I don't know if he was overreacting, but he went to the extreme. So I saw in a sefer. The answer is, what was going to come out from this union, the Melech HaMashiach. What is the goal? This is something very good for our generation. What is the goal of the Melech HaMashiach? The ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to be Mekadeh Shem Shemayim. The Melech HaMashiach is to be an Or La'anim. It's to sanctify Hashem's name. The opposite of Kiddush Shem Shemayim is Chilul Hashem. Boaz over here realized, there's a woman here, her name is Ruth. She has potential to be the mother of Melech HaMashiach. It cannot be that the Melech HaMashiach, whose role is to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, will have its roots in an event that will be a very great Chilul Hashem. If the word will get out that Boaz, the Gadol Hadar, is lying together with a woman, a young woman, on the threshing floor, and people are going to start to, and you can imagine the headlines of all the tabloids and all the newspapers and all the blogs, what they're going to say. The Chilul Hashem is so great, even though it's not true, but this is not something the Gadol Hadar does. Therefore, that is a direct contradiction to the goal of bringing about Melech HaMashiach. If the goal is, from this we're going to create a new tzedakah organization, right? What's going to come from this? Hey, there's Ruth is coming. She wants to make a proposal to go into business, to make a new tzedakah organization, to make a new yeshiva, to make some new chesed organization. All right, a little chal Hashem. There's always a scandal. Everyone gets caught somewhere. Everyone ain't tzaddik, baris riyas tevle. Every yeshiva is always in the newspaper at some point in time or the other, right? Okay, so the shtickle scandal. Okay, so you'll get over it. You'll explain yourself. You'll recover. You'll recover. All right, big deal. But Melech HaMashiach, it's all about Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Yeah?
But still in all, it came from Amoni Vilma Ovis was still a major controversy, raging controversy.
But there was no Chil Hashem.
What about Lloyd? Coming from Lloyd?
And coming from Lloyd.
Low, all the way back. I could see the scandal headlines. His wife's head.
It wasn't a scandal. I mean, it wasn't.
Scandal's not a scandal.
Lloyd was no tzaddikol. Lo wasn't a Rosh Hashiva.
Came from that territory. Just as the guy Boaz, this is the woman that Boaz was sleeping with. This is a woman.
But it wasn't. It was to be expected. Who do you? You open up the Daily News and you read about all these. What do you expect different? If you see a firm person. Oh, what a chil Hashem. Because you don't expect that. That's not the way you've been raised. That's not what you've been trained to do. When you see other people, that's the world.
Sheva Boaz marrying a woman with great ancestors. Had a special relationship, and that's where she descends from.
That's not a chil Hashem. You're not responsible for what happened 50 generations back. Yeah. You're not responsible for that. What?
You should have picked somebody better. The headlines are...
She converted. You don't judge a person after their ancestors. She converted. She's sincere. She's a Giyaris. Vahav the Torah. Well, the Torah says, Vahav the Mesa, the Torah disagrees. The Torah says, Vahav the Mesa, Gyariki, Gyar, Vahisam, Yaris, Mitzrayim. The Torah says, you shall love a Gyar. Gyaris, there's nothing wrong. You don't hold Ish Becheto Yumas. A person is not held accountable for what happened 10 generations back. Here you have a woman. She is sincere. She has done with her mother-in-law the most unusual chesed. She has shown the greatest qualities possible. So this was. What?
You don't have to marry.
Why not? He's the goyel. He's the closest relative. He has a mitzvah to marry her. Yimum.
The Haman cannot marry her. Correct.
Correct.
Why?
Because the Torah says. Torah says she's a ba'ula. What? Well, you follow the rules of the Torah. The Torah says that Kohen may not marry a Giyaris. But the Torah does not say that Yehuda, Yisrael may not marry. And here there's a mitzvah of Yibum. There's a mitzvah of Geula. There are mitzvahs. That's in the entire paragdal. There's a mitzvah of Geula. The closest relative is supposed to acquire the property. It's supposed to help the Salmana. There are many mitzvahs that are being performed by Boaz marrying this woman. There's nothing wrong. And there's no Chil Hashem. What's the Chil Hashem? No one did anything wrong. You want to go pull up what someone did, the great-great-grandfather, it's ridiculous. That's not a Chil Hashem. What Lo did with his two daughters, that wasn't a Chil Hashem. There was an Avera, and there's no question about it. But it's to be expected. What do you want from Lo? It wasn't Avram Avinu who did this. It was Lot. Lot, so people who read about it in the newspaper. Yeah, what do you expect? What do you expect from Lot? If a big Rosh Hashiva would do the same thing, oh, what a Chilul Hashem. What a tragedy. If Boaz here, word would get out that Boaz here is lying here on the floor with this woman, could you imagine the Chilul Hashem? So, and the problem is this Chil Hashem cannot be the roots of the coming of Mashiach, whose goal is the complete opposite of Chil Hashem or Kiddush Shem Shemayim. There's something to this var. There's a very powerful var. We live in a generation where everything is under such intense scrutiny. Every move you make, it's blown way out of proportion. Way out of proportion. Every step you take, and they're just waiting to pounce on you to uncover the Achil Hashem and the Kiddush Shem Shemayim. That's not important. The role of Melech HaMashiach is to bring out the Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Okay, that can clear.
What about with David's mother? There was the whole thing.
Bathsheba. Yes, that was a big problem. You're right. That was
not bad. Even before he was born, there was the whole question about whether he was legitimate.
Well, that's all part of that question. That's not a Chil Hashem. There's a question as his legitimacy in the Klal Yisrael, but there was no Chil Hashem. It's not a matter of Chil Hashem. It's a question of lineage, but it's not a question of Chil Hashem. Okay, we'll stop over here.